Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we can start the meeting. My name is Małgorzata Czaplicka. I'm the Investor Relations Director of GTC S.A., and it's my pleasure to welcome you to today's call. We will be discussing our 2020 results, and as traditionally, there will be a presentation conducted by the management, Yovav Carmi, the CEO, and Ariel Ferstman, the CFO. And after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. Please note that today's call is being recorded and it will be placed on the GTC's website after the call. Yovav, the floor is yours.
Thank you, everybody. Should we?
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for joining us. I would like to start with a few, some general words. 2020 had been a challenging year for us in two different dimensions. The first dimension is, of course, having to handle the challenges that were brought by the COVID pandemic. This has been an experience for all companies across the region, across the world, actually. And we had one additional challenge in the course of 2020. GTC changed hands. The previous majority shareholder, Lone Star, sold their stake to Optima. Can you please?
Małgosia, can we put the
everybody on mute? Yes.
Yes, and accept us, please.
Bo ty masz 16 sesji zajęty, tak? No dobra, to jutro, to już po prostu.
Okay, I will continue. So in addition to the COVID challenges, as I said, the Lone Star, the majority shareholder, sold its stake to Optima, and there's a new majority shareholder. As a result, there was a handover from a previous management board to the current management board that has been appointed in the summer, in the course of the summer last year. And since we took over, we are now bringing to you the results of the year, which I think I would say, carefully say that those are very good results, bearing in mind the circumstances. In this first slide, what we can see is that GTC was able to maintain a healthy gross margin of 119 million euro versus 128 in the previous year. We've maintained a strong FFO of 66 million comparing to 70 in 2019 before the COVID. And we have been able to maintain a very healthy and solid financial metrics with LTV of 45% and a record low interest, average interest rate of 2.3%. The COVID pandemic had an impact on our income of 15 million euros, loss of income that was a result of several lockdowns that occurred during the year, plus rent discounts that we have given to tenants in the course of the year. The effect of this started in the second quarter until the fourth one. So on average, this is roughly 5 million euros per quarter. I think we will come to that a bit later, but within this context of things, I think it's important to mention that now, today, as of today, with a full lockdown in Poland and in Bulgaria, about 30% of our retail GLA is allowed to trade. And of course, this will roll into this, the effect of the COVID will roll into 2021. I think coming back to this slide, we have been able to preserve our cash and accumulate cash. And at the end of the year, we have a strong liquidity position with 272 million euros. A big portion of it is thanks to a bond raising exercise that we have conducted in Q4. Last year, we have obtained an investment grade rating of BBB-. Can you please mute yourself? 110. We will get later to the Q&A session. Thank you. 110 million, which was 33% oversubscribed. We have complemented this with a subsequent exercise similar in March this year, 21, which was 25% oversubscribed. I think this oversubscription element shows the confidence of the banks and the strength of the company to attract investors. Moving to the next slide. If we look at the at the office performance, I think the most important point here is that we were not facing any collection challenges with the office sector. We have been able to maintain a strong occupancy rate of over 90% as of the end of the year. However, given the COVID pandemic, the whole activity slowed down. Occupiers are slower in making their decisions. They are slower in executing decisions, and the whole cycle is slower. Nevertheless, we have been able to secure 70,000 square meters of leases during the year. Most important of them are mentioned on this table. If we move to the retail sector, what we see here is the evolution of the footfall throughout the year. Of course, the first 2 months is before COVID, which we show that our performance exceeded the period in 2019 before the COVID. And then since March to May, this was the first wave, the first full lockdown. And this, of course, severely affected our footfall in the malls. Post the lockdown, we saw the pickup of the footfall up until September, where we managed to get almost to 80% of previous year in terms of footfall. And since second half of October, we've been seeing a second wave of COVID, which is visible on the decline of the footfall with full lockdowns in November, December, and January. I think whenever we reopened, you see a sharp jump in the footfall, meaning that people wanted to get back to the mall to shop. And I think the next slide even emphasizes more the performance, because you see that the ratio between the footfall and the turnover shows a high conversion rate. So people were coming back and really shopping with if you compare to previous year, we're in sometime during the summer in August, September, we're almost at 90% performance of turnovers compared to previous year. So this is almost normal levels. Unfortunately, the second wave came in November, December. And again, if you look at February, when things reopened after the closure in January, again, it jumped almost to 85%. So this, I think, is an encouraging signal that the impact of COVID is temporary due to the closures and restrictions. And once people are free to go, immediately you see the turnover normalizing. Another signal that is important here is that we've been able to maintain a high occupancy rate of 95%. Please go back one second. And another one is that the confidence of retailers. During the COVID, we were able to attract a flagship store in Polnotsna. Sinsay, IKEA, and Bershka were willing to commit in the Mall of Sofia. So it shows that the larger retailers are still confident in our centers and willing to commit to long-term leases. If we move to the next one, those are measures that we have taken on the retail sector in order to minimize the impact of the COVID. So the first one is renegotiating the contracts with the retailers, especially after the lockdowns. All of them knocked on our door and asked for help. We've been negotiating with them temporary discounts for a limited period of time. And against that, we asked them to prolong the leases. This helped us in maintaining a long WALT of 3.6 years. We thanks to being able to renegotiate and settle with them and support them, I think this is mirrored by a very good collection rate of 97%. So we have a strong collection ratio here. As I mentioned previously, unfortunately, all those other items that I mentioned resulted in a 15 million euro loss of income in the 9 months, in the whole year, but the COVID started in Q2, so it's a 9 months impact. And then in the next slide, I think what we did as management across the board in the whole company is we were looking for means in order to take defensive measures or means to preserve the cash and ensure that we have sufficient liquidity for the very volatile times. I think one important measure is that we suspended the dividend distribution in 2019. Another one is towards the end of the year, we have issued green bonds in the amount of 110 million, complemented by another round in March of 54 million. In the course of the year, we sold one office building in Budapest, generating 41 million free cash. It's not this 41, it's another 41 that is not appearing on the slide. The 41 that you see here is active asset management that we conducted. One important element is rescheduling development projects that were planned to start in the course of 2020. Being prudent, listening to the demand on the market, we decided some of those projects should be rescheduled for a later stage. And by doing that, we saved 32 million. The other items are on the operational level, reducing some operating expenses in the amount of 2 million and postponing some CapEx investments that are not time critical, will not hinder the daily operation of our buildings and could be carried out at a later stage. So that helped us preserve 7 million in cash, altogether 41 million. Moving to the next slide. I think what we can see here is the intensive activity we've been undertaking during this time in reshaping and working on our portfolio. We concluded the sale of the Spiral office building that I just mentioned in the course of 2020. At the beginning of the year, we completed the last phase of the Greenheart. This is 5,500 square meters of offices in Belgrade. We completed by the end of the year ABC 2 in Sofia and Matrix 2 in Zagreb. And we, towards the end of the year, with the success of the leasing, on the back of the success of the leasing of ABC 2, we were comfortable enough to launch the construction of Sofia Tower. This is an office tower of 8,000 square meters on top of Mall of Sofia. This intensive activity continued into 2021. First quarter, we have signed an agreement to acquire an office building in Budapest, 15,000 square meters on the Váci út, called Váci Green, fully let, generating 2.9 million euros. We acquired a land plot just next to Greenheart in Belgrade for further development. This has a potential development rights of 75,000 square meters. I think the next slide is a picture of how our portfolio looks like in terms of diversification towards the various markets, the split between retail and office. So what we can see here is not very different to what we've seen in previous presentations. About 90% is cash generating, income producing versus 10% development. Out of the income producing, about 60% is office and 40% retail. Let's move on to the next and I think what we would like to say here is a few words about the tenant base. We have high proportion of blue chip tenants. We have no dependency on a certain tenant, so no tenant has any major impact on our activity. We have been able to maintain the high occupancy and high level of retention of our tenants. Post disposal of Spiral, all our income is in euro or linked to euro as of October when we completed the sale of Spiral. One more thing to mention on this slide. We have been achieving a very high ratio of green certification for our assets. 84% of our assets have obtained green certification. We've just announced a couple of weeks ago, we completed the whole portfolio in Poland. Everything has green certification in Poland. We're working on the rest of the portfolio. In the long run, our aim is to have as high as possible ratio of green certified assets. In a month or so, you will also see the first ESG report coming out from us, as we have decided as management to adopt such a reporting obligation on a voluntarily basis. Moving on, I always prefer the next one with the pictures. Yes. So here, what we can see is our development pipeline, the quite immediate one, I would say. We have here a pillar office development, which is currently under development. We have not encountered any restrictions due to the COVID lockdowns, and it's moving ahead as planned in terms of time and budget to be completed by the end of this year, 2021. It's fully let, as per previous presentations we mentioned. We launched towards the end of the year Sofia Tower, to be completed by mid next year. Total investment is 13.5 million euros. So we are taking advantage of the fact that the shopping center is closed, and we're moving ahead with the development with as minimum disruption to the mall as possible due to the fact that it's closed. And I thought that it's worth mentioning here that part of our asset management ongoing tasks is to upkeep the older assets on our balance sheet. Here we can see Center Point 1 and 2. This is an asset that was completed some 15 years ago. And now with some relocation of tenants, we are taking the opportunity to renovate it. We have are planning an investment of 10 million that will help re-let it and reposition it. If we look at the going forward, what is on the menu for commencement in the very near future, we have two assets. One is Center Point 3, that the building permit is imminent and we expect it very soon. And we have GTCX in Belgrade that already has obtained the building permit. The two of those assets launching are really subject to market demand. So I think I've finished this part of the presentation. If any questions, I'm happy to answer, or otherwise I will hand over to Ariel to talk about the financials.
So thank you, Yovav. So like Yovav mentioned, it's been a challenging year. In spite of the loss that we posted for the last year, I think we end up our operational numbers remain strong. And I'll explain in a few seconds why. But if we zoom in the numbers, we post a loss of 71 million euros for the last year, mainly driven by the losses on the revaluation, 143 million euros. If we zoom in the 143 million euros, Margosha, if we go on to slide 19, you can see the breakdown of these losses. This is split 70% on the retail assets, 30% on the office. We have done two valuation exercises, one in the first half of the year and in the second half of the year. As you see, Poland with minus 55 million euros on the retail side, Polnośna and Jurajska. The reason was mainly driven by the slight expansion on the yields, decline on the expected rental values. And of course, overall, with the microeconomic environment of the COVID-19, Belgrade, we post minus 30 million euros on the other shopping center, and also in the Avenue Mall, 6 million, and Sofia Mall, minus 10 million. In the office sector, we had also some slight adjustment on values, also as a result of certain slight expansion on the yields and certain degree of negative sentiment on the office sector, which was posted by the end of the year on the Q4 valuations. In our portfolio in Poland, 22 million euros, and mainly in Belgrade, minus 13 million euros. Just to point out that our Budapest market remained very strong. And as you have mentioned out, we posted 13 million euros profit. This is without counting our profit from projects under construction, which is mainly Pillar, which we book around 5 million euros during the year. But in Budapest, we booked 10 million euros as an uplift profit as a result of the sale of Spiral and some positive revaluation on our office. The office market in Budapest remains very strong. So going back into the income statement on slide 17, as Yovav mentioned, we took some measures to try to minimize as much as we extend the operating expenses, and as well also the G&A and the selling expenses. So we post a decline of 5 million euros on a like-to-like basis between 2019 and 2020, 17 million in 19 versus 12 million euros in 2020. And if we zoom in regarding the gross margin of operations, we have a decline of 8%, driven mainly by the 15 million euros losses from the lockdown, the rent reductions, and the COVID influence. But however, if we need to explain the difference and the bridge on the gross margin on slide 18, we see We post a gross margin of around 128 million euros in 19 and versus 119 million euros. The main reasons, minus 15 million euros, the COVID-19. This was offset by 9 million euros contribution increase on the income as a result of the largest and extended activity we had on the development side in 2019 with the completions of Green Card, Adam Mall, AVC1 and Matrix A, which contribute during the course of this year to offset that impact of the COVID. Of course, it remains to see also that also the new completions that you've mentioned will contribute positively in the next coming quarters to offset any potential losses on the COVID for the first quarter as well. Minus 4 million euros decline on the gross margin as a result of the sales, Neptune, White House and Spiral. And we remain strong with a very strong operating margin of 74%, 75% versus 2019. So we're still in light in spite of the COVID, we remain very strong and very efficient as a platform. And this was one of the major points that was praised by our rating agency when it was rating our bonds also in December. Going in slide 20, Malgosia, in the balance sheet. As I mentioned before, we had a decline around 6% of our on the asset value as a result of the losses from the revaluation. We end up with the investment property of around 2.1 billion euros versus 2.2 billion euros last year. The main driven by the losses, 143 millions, the sale of Spiral minus 63 million. This was partially offset by our development activity, mainly in Pilau, the completion of ABC2 and Matrix B, 68 million euros, and the recent acquisition of a land plot next to the Budapest will secure the future pipeline for 22 million euros for a potential 65,000 square meters office space in the future. As Jova pointed out, we remain very strong cash position at the end of the year, 310 million euros, including our restricted cash, 272 million euro free cash. This was driven mainly as a result of the successful placement of the bonds at the end of the year, 110 million euros, plus the top up that we took out at the beginning of the year from the refinance of Galeria Jurajska, 46 million euros, partially offset by the repayment of the bonds, 69 million euros, and investment in different development projects around 31 million euros. It's important to stress that this strong liquidity position will allow us to prepare the company for further growth and potential acquisitions in the future, and also to weather any eventualities that we might come regarding the COVID-19 in the next few months. Going into the strength of the debt matrix, as Jova pointed out before, we remain on our long commitment of a low loan to value. In spite of the decline of our asset values, we remain with 45% loan to value. Which is a great achievement. We are very careful on any potential development or potential refinancing, not to over leverage our assets. One more pointed out, like you have mentioned, is the record on the minimum average interest rate, which was driven by the fact of the successful placement of the bonds, which was placed at the end of December, 2.25% fixed coupon, which was swapped fully euro at the rate below 1%. Regarding the debt maturity, as you mentioned, as you see, you have 135 million euros loans to be recycled in the next 12 months. Out of the 135 million euros, we have already successfully signed and prolonged 112 million euros, and we are in the course of signing the next 25 million euros in the course of the next few months, which that will end up with the activity and all, basically all that you see, those 135 will be prolonged at least for 5 or plus years. Regarding our financing activity, it was a very intensive year in terms of the financing activity. We really worked very hard. We tried to basically secure our very strong liquidity position, and that was as a result this successful green bonds that was placed at the end of the year, which continue in the course of the last few weeks with the last one of 54 million, both oversubscribed about 30%, both, as I mentioned before, and it's published also in our financial statements, were fully swapped. The first one to the euro below 1%, and the last one was swapped by 0.93% for the full term of the 10 years. Regarding the cash flow statements in slide, next slide, this is, I think, in spite of the minus 15 million euros that we lost on the operationals, we had remained unsteady on our cash flow from operating activities. 69 million versus 68 million, almost no change. And this is as a result, as mentioned by Jova before, we really focus our efforts on collection. And of course, we did support our tenants. We tried to renegotiate those leases very quickly, but we remain with the focus on collection, collection, and collection. So I think overall, it was a very challenging year. We're looking for more challenging years in a different way, more positive. And I think, Malgosia, we are ready to open the floor for a Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very happy to answer any questions you may have. So please raise a hand, whoever would like to ask a question. Or just unmute yourself.
Hello, this is Peter Brazen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Peter. Come on.
Can you please share some light? What was behind the revaluations or devaluations of office, especially in Poland, Belgrade, and Bucharest? Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Peter. I think, as I mentioned before, when we did the exercise with evaluators at the year end, I think the COVID indeed impact significantly on our retail portfolio. However, we couldn't, we are not, you know, we cannot avoid the fact that also has certain degree of impact in our office in terms of the investment activity decline in comparison to previous years. So the valuers were a little bit more conservative on their valuations. So there was, especially on the portfolio in Poland, there was a slight change or expansion on the yields. In our portfolio in Belgrade, there was a decline also on the expected rental value as well. Regarding Romania, I think that the main driven was the fact that the Romanian office market slightly changed, is becoming a little much more competitive. And in fact, in light of the COVID, it remained much more competitive than it was before. There was too many completions and too many developments at the same time. And that also affected the expected rental values on our valuations. Plus the fact that the certain assumptions such as you know, vacancy or also the downturn of the tenants were prolonged also as well as a conservative method as well. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And maybe there was a recent acquisition that you made. I cannot recall the number, the name of this project. Can you also maybe give more color on this one?
I think we mentioned two acquisitions. One is a land plot in Belgrade for development, just next to a Green Heart office project in Belgrade. The success in development and leasing activity in Belgrade resulted in our confidence to continue our development mode in Belgrade. So we secured this land plot for another 75,000 altogether, of course in phases, but altogether 75,000 square meters of potentially offices in Belgrade. So this is one acquisition that was highlighted in the presentation. And another one is an office building on the Vatsi Ut Street, two blocks away from Center Point 3 up the road. Vatsi Street is the main office corridor in Budapest. There is the metro along that street. And we have acquired 15,500 square meters office called Vatsi Green B. It has a green certificate. We signed the contract just a few weeks ago. And this is a relatively new building, 3 or 4 years old. So that's the second acquisition that we mentioned.
And what kind of yield do you get on the acquisition price on this one? And is it fully occupied?
It is fully occupied by tenants like E.ON and Ford, and it is generating
Unilever,
and it's generating just below 3 million euros per annum. The acquisition yield, I'm not sure this is something we publish.
The acquisition price is 51 million euros. You can do the math.
And what is the net operating income?
3 million euros, roughly.
Thank you.
I have one question from Paweł Gołębiewski. Could you please comment on green bonds? It seems that those green bonds hasn't been offered publicly. Is it true that the final buyer was Hungarian Central Bank?
Well, the green bonds were issued by the... We issued two series of green bonds. There is a program which is sponsored by the National Hungarian Bank. It's called the Bond Growth Program. It's a program that any company can apply in, which is a Hungarian company, has operation of Hungarian company and certain parameters such as volume and asset base and so on.
And rating.
And rating as well. And in order to participate in this program, we had to achieve certain rating, which is a minimum B+. So we were investment grade, BBB-. As a part of the program, the National Bank of Hungary purchased at least 50% of the proceeds of the bonds, and 50% of the proceeds of the bonds has to be purchased by private investors. So that was offered to the public or private investors who can basically apply to that kind of bonds. Who are those private investors? Mainly, we're talking about financial institutions, banks, insurance companies, asset management companies. And of course, those ones were oversubscribed, one by 30% and 25%. So you can give you the flavor of how much was the demand from the private investors also as well.
It's also worth adding that the bonds were issued in Hungarian forint. So as a result, the distribution was limited mostly to the Hungarian financial institutions.
Hi, so maybe one question from my side. If you can hear me first, maybe.
We can hear you fine, Czarek.
Great. Okay, so Cezary Bernatek, Erste Group. So, like a follow-up on the green bonds, because from what I understand, the coupon is like around 1%, so it's like significantly below what you got on average on your balance sheet for the moment, which is like 2.3 as far as I'm concerned. So the question is, are you planning more issues? I think it's like a rhetoric question. But in a way that you can exchange the project financing with the bonds. I know that some of the companies are doing it, are planning it. And the question in another way around is whether you see some upside potential when it comes to the average cost of debt due to these potential issuances.
That's a good question. First of all, the coupon was not 1%. The coupon for the first bond was 2.25%. It's in foreign.
Okay.
It was swap. When you convert that fixed coupon from foreign to euro, you basically benefit from the difference of interest. So we managed to swap that to a euro, full euro bond below 1%. The second coupon was issued recently by 2.6%. So that's give you the flavor. That was the coupon in foreign again. And we managed to swap also that for a rate below 1%, 0.93%. So it's not that we issue fixed euro bonds in below 1%, because that will probably not be something which we could achieve. So in respect of what we believe, how we see the debt structure, I think there is certain potential. We have proven the market that we can raise unsecured financing, and there is the demand and the trust from these private investors. And I think we will strongly consider in the future, perhaps a new issuance, not necessarily in Hungary, but probably in other markets. and subject to the demand, something that we're certainly exploring.
Okay, great. And one more question, just a technical one. Just wanted to ask, who was the valuer of the portfolio at the end of 2020? Which valuer?
I don't think this is something we published, Malgosia, or?
It was a number of different valuers, right, Ariel?
Uh-huh. It's a number of different valuers, at least three different valuers. Three different reputable valuers, let's put it this way.
Okay, enough, fair enough, thank you.
Hello, my name is Karol Nowiszewski, and I'd like to ask you for a comment about transaction markets. Are there investors willing to buy the buildings, or is it a problem? And what's the activity on the market right now after the coronavirus?
I think investors are the same sentiment that I mentioned on the tenancy side, on the occupier side. I think investors are also slower, much slower in taking decisions, much slower in traveling restrictions are making an impression because it's very difficult to handle transactions if you cannot physically come and visit and inspect the assets from the side of the investors. So the physical traveling restrictions are not helping the investment markets. There is a limit to what you can do on Zoom. And therefore, we see the activity much slower, much less active. However, we do see some transactions pulling through on a selective basis. We have not seen a significant movement on pricing of transactions, and I'm talking mainly about offices, because on the retail side, I think we do not see any transactions taking place at all. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
So maybe one more question from my side, Cezary Bernatek, once again. When it comes to the new projects, the acquisitions you are thinking about, as you mentioned, you got like pretty strong balance sheet and there's space to do it. Are you considering entering any like old new segments like residential, for example? Like part of the companies, part of the competitors is actually mulling the entrance into resi more than they used to be. We've been on the Polish residential market for a while. Pretty successful, and are you considering it? Thank you.
I think in the overall context of things, our expertise lie with office assets and retail assets, and this is where we have been focusing our activity in the course of the last several years. And I think this is where we will continue to have the vast majority of our activity. Whether you will see from us here and there some, let's call it opportunistic kind of projects that are a bit outside on a very small scale, immaterial to the whole context, you might see something like that, but again, this might be on a small scale, opportunistic kind of basis, and where we see ourselves focusing our activities really on the office and retail sectors.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any more questions at that point? Okay, as I see no more questions, thank you very much for the participation in today's call. If you have any more questions, I will be more than happy to give you any answers I can give you. Or if you need a meeting personal or online with me or the management, we are available as much as the restrictions allows. Thank you very much and have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.